Father, speak to us as we handle the subject of worship, our approach to you. May our worship be acceptable, may it be right in spirit and in truth. Speak to us, correct us. Master, speak. In Jesus' name I've prayed.
Amen. So today we're going to look at worship. We're going to try to have some kind of working explanation of what worship is. Okay, what worship is. Now, many different definitions have already been suggested. There are very many different books on the subject of worship. Many. In truth, though, is neither the Old Testament nor the New Testament can basically or have explained or spoken about worship with one word. When the Bible is describing worship, a number of different things or parts of worship are explained, spoken about, are highlighted. You know, you find things associated with worship like mystery, life, offering, dialogue, future hope. But if you want to define biblical worship in a statement, in a sentence, in a paragraph, we can sort of limit the extremities of how the Bible explains what worship is. Now, one of the things you're going to learn is that people worship God, but God has also defined how he should be worshipped. If we are to define true worship, now sometimes that's what the Bible calls true worship versus false worship or worship which is not in truth. True worship or worship generally, before we go to true worship, worship generally is a human response to God. I'll say that again. Worship is a human or the human response to God. Okay, and in that, I gave Brother Dave something to post. In that human response to God, this is what you find within the description of worship. And Daniel Block, a very, very wonderful scholar of Old Testament, especially Deuteronomy, wrote this. True worship involves reverential human acts. Now, I softened the language a little bit, so this is not a direct quote, but I softened some of the words from him so that they make more sense to you. True worship involves reverential human acts of submission and homage before the divine sovereign in response to his gracious revelation of himself and in accord with his will. Now, this is a description. It has very critical elements in there. I'll say it again. True worship involves reverential human acts. Reverential human acts of submission and homage before a divine sovereign. Not abstractly, but in response to his gracious revelation of himself and in accord with his will. So worship is a human response to a revelation of God. And that's why I always highlight that a proper theology, a proper knowledge of God is critical to the worship of God. It's critical. But besides your response to a revelation of God, because that revelation of God can be, it could be, if you find there's a revelation of God, they call it special, there's special revelation, and the other one, I've forgotten what it is. God could reveal himself through natural things. That is extremely biblical. And then a person can worship from that revelation. or let me say, a person could respond to God from a revelation. But there's another critical element, and that element is in accord with his will. But not just what I've seen, but what I don't just respond to what I've seen, I must respond to him the way he has revealed he wants to be responded to in worship. Somebody was telling me, somebody was teaching, you know, the Holy Spirit is a person, he's gentle. He wants to be loved and adored. So for me, very early in the morning, I wake up and I make for him a place to sit. And I give him my tea. The Holy Spirit, he's nice. No, the Holy Spirit can never tell us. He can never condemn us. You know what I mean, convict. So if I'm doing something wrong, the Holy Spirit will never tell me because he's nice. No, sir. You don't worship Holy Spirit by writing love letters. There's a way God has revealed, according to his will, he must be responded to. And I like the element that Jesus said, those that worship him must worship him in spirit. I mean, if he stopped in spirit, you find some people, they call them worship session. One person is there, they are stepping on the wall like this, and they are drawing. Now, interesting, some people copy these things and they don't know why. Have you seen those things in a worship service? Some people are drawing. They are painting, sorry. Right? You've seen it? And other people are dancing. Other people are doing whatever they are because everybody's apparently worshiping according to what God has revealed. Tell your neighbor, we have a sure word. But don't have to guess. Yeah. So don't have to worship God how he revealed to you in the morning. I was there in the one morning watching football. Then the Holy Spirit just told me, do you see Messi? So come and create for us a theology on worshiping God like Messi. Well, I've just picked an example, really. And I'm telling you, many times people have overvalued their experiences. But can I tell you, your experiences need interpretation. Amen. Your spiritual experiences need what? Interpretation. But we have a word of God. So, again, reverential. And we're going to talk about the reverential part because, again, some people have over familiar to God. Because what? God, your body. Right? So you come and worship your body. It's like you're coming to worship your friend. You're coming to worship your father. Your father is loving. I told some people, you people can over exaggerate. You know your African fathers. Honestly, many of us didn't deal with our fathers like that, right? But you find everybody saying, you know, God is a father. Yes, he's a father. So, you know, you just come and tell him, you just come and sit on his lap. Let me ask you, how many of you, your father would come back from work and you go sit on his lap when you're a teenager? You just talk to him anyhow because he's your friend. So so sometimes don't overuse this. These images are there in the Bible because they're helping us trying to conceptualize some things. But you don't reduce God to the images that are being used to create some kind of relational aspect. And I've told you, none of you, if you actually met God, You'll do all that. Jesus, take a seat here. You'll fall down on your face. Isn't that what happens? You'll fall down on your face. Uh-huh. You go look at the guys in the Bible, they would fall down on their what? They would say, Jesus, is that you? You're back again? That's how they've narrated their encounters. The encounters are so peaceful. There's no fear. You go read the book of Revelation. You hear the images, the voice of many waters. Yeah, I think that's scary. If you read Revelation and read the creatures and you fell asleep and you dreamt to them, you would run in the dream, right? I'm kidding. So these are the key elements. I'm going to give you 8 key elements if time allows. I think it will allow. 8 key elements that are descriptive of biblical true worship. Amen. Then after that, if we have time, I'll talk about music. Right, I bet you, when I talked about worship, you were thinking worship songs. The slow ones. Sorry. So, the element number one, truth versus falsehood. Everyone worships something. The problem is that not everyone worships truly. Everyone worships something. However, not everyone worships truly. Now, what is to not worship truly? It has two aspects. Both those who worship wrong gods or other gods, and those who worship Yahweh in a way that goes against his revealed will, both worship him falsely. Let me say it again. Both those who worship other gods and those who worship God in a way he has not revealed to be worshipped, worship falsely. Take note especially of that last part. True worship, listen to this, true worship requires a consistency between what you confess and what you practice. I'll say it again. True worship requires a consistency between what you confess and what you practice. And then secondly, because I'm going to show you that your living, your daily living is supposed to be a demonstration of worship to Yahweh. Now, secondly, true worship requires consistency between what God seeks and what we present to him. True worship is you give to God what he wants. You don't give to God what you can, or you give to God what you want. You give to God in worship what he has asked for. That is true worship. Element number two. Are you with me, O? Element number two is reverent awe. Reverent awe. Reverence. An awe. How can I say these words in simpler English? Reverence. Everybody knows reverence. An awe. True worship requires deep respect and wonder. Deep respect and wonder. This is the God, you are awesome. Oh, I'm in awe of you. Much of today's worship lacks that seriousness which comes with meeting God. The seriousness needed when we meet God. There's a casualness, there's a flippantness, a laxity. And by the way, needless to say, I'm going to say this at the end. Being in this service is worship. You came to church to worship. You came to church as worship. So the seriousness, the deep respect, the awe, this will show up in your attitude, your dress code, your time keeping. Do you pick a phone in church? That's if you have entered the presence of the Lord with. Imagine you are caught up in the third heaven. Imagine you are the one in Isaiah 6. While they are talking in heaven, your phone goes off. You tell God, Can I just one second, God? Hello? Sorry, Jesus, you are saying? But people don't think coming to be in a service is worship. Because again, you think worship is the singing. But also while you do that, you be like, Eze Bube, see how much you've loved me. I can see, I can tell, and I know. Or you can also close and put it here. Jesus, Jesus, you send the darkness back. Flippant, flimsy, careless. Go that worship. People give more respect to meetings they would have with their bosses than a meeting they would have with God. Again, sometimes you don't blame people. The pastors have made the services a joke. So people think, come on, I've come to have a good time in the presence of the Lord. Again, you go in the Bible. Who was having... You know, church is supposed to be fun. Tell your neighbor, stop being religious. Loosen up. Shake that booty that Jesus gave you. Shake your booty that... Flippant. We call that worship. If you go to a cathedral, they kick you out. You enter, they enter like this. You see, that thing you are laughing at, that it is religious. It's a hell. It's the awe. Person has entered the house of the Lord. They first even do like this. They go. Okay, you think this is religious? Is it in the name of the Father? Don't you believe in the name? And they enter slowly. And they kneel down. They first, they kneel in front and they go and they sit quietly. When they reach prayer time, they have, everybody, the time everybody kneels. First, you are in service updating our statuses. And you sometimes you wonder why you don't sense God there. What would he still be doing there? Everything has become entertainment. See, do you know? The average Christian comes to church not to minister to God. Not to order God. But to just have a good time. Just had a stressful week. When I come to service, I don't want the pastor to bother me with long teaching. Just want SMS. Short message. Service. In, out. Then I post. Here's my day. Take a day to me as I go to church. So we arrived. The car park was like this. Then we entered the service. The worship was so nice. As I came out, oh my God, the man of God was smart. And Ken is looking at me like, what is, you're not on TikTok. Is it Instagram where they post this thing? It seems, then we went up, the service there, the pastor's in there, within the communion. Yeah, that was my day. So after that, we went, had lunch, and then back at my bed. Yeah, that was my Sunday. Influencers. They're not coming to church. There was a reverence. If you look at the way service was, the priest coming to the priest, even what he was dressing was curated. It was, you put on this, you put on turban, you put on like this, you put on this, you come into the presence of the Lord to serve before the Lord. But anyway, we come carelessly. Because I don't think people believe that God is there. Because if they believe that God is there, we'll give it much more respect. You don't, some of you don't plan to come to church. Ozuku cannot jack church. What some people wake up like you are coming for, like someone was trying to drown you. So I make a just start running around the house. Nyamba dechi. Some of you need to sometime maybe go to Israel. Maybe think about how they treated the Sabbath. Day to worship the Lord. One day a week. God asks you one day. Even that day you're not prepared. That doesn't mean that real worship is gloomy. But what it means is it does not have to be casual and careless when we come before the Lord. Don't come casually. What if Jesus was having his throne here seated watching all our worship? How would you worship? Again, if we were, because we're used to just generation of camera, maybe some of us will worship well. Because Jesus is watching. Number three. Are you still there? Ask your neighbor, Jolie. Human response. True worship is a human response. Some people, I don't blame them. They have never had a God to respond to. So in worship, they don't know what to do. You're too faithful to fail me. You're too what to disappoint me. What is it? Ah, you have not been with him enough. He will disappoint you. See, look at the hymns. Do you know there is no hymn you find with this kind of has anybody ever had a hymn? Give me one. That is not personal. That is us. He didn't love the world so that I don't sleep in two-bedroom house. Like, many of the songs are selfish and they are individual. Those songs, many of them were plural and they were communal worship. But hey, sometimes also don't blame people. Their worship starts with songs. It doesn't start with a response to Yahweh. So the only way they know how to worship God is through a song. All creation speaks of his majesty. Psalm 19. Hallelujah. Come on, maybe ask. Oh man, no wonder you guys don't sing new songs. Well, we don't come to church to sing ourselves happy. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. Psalm 50 verse 6, you can read all these psalms, and Psalm 148, Psalm 50. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Psalm 148. So there's this kind of response. Now this talks about how the heavens do it, how the angels do it, how the creatures do it, how the earth does it. But really, mainly the words are intended for human beings. As we respond to who God is, we are in awe of him. When we are worshiping him, we say what he has done. We say who he is. We speak about how he restores all creation. We speak about how he holds all things together. Again, worship is our response to God. Number four. Worship is actions, not just intentions. I'll say it again. It's actions, not just intentions. True worship involves actions. It's not only about our inner feelings, as though God doesn't care about how we live. Remember how I said? What I confess must line up with how I live. Our daily lives should be marked by respect and wonder before him. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Samuel said this to the king Saul, 1 Samuel 15, 22. Has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So how we live our lives must align with our profession in worship. And how we live our lives in obedience to God is worship. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. When you're singing that, I want you to think about both with your words and with your life. I live to worship. To worship you, I live. You know the song? To worship you, I live to worship. So think about this. So God rescues Israel from Egypt. Remember, he says, get my children out so that what? They will worship me. So he reveals himself through these mighty signs and wonders. Go back and look at the very first song, the song of Moses. The song of Moses. He will sing about what the Lord has done. He'll sing about the deliverance. The song of Deborah. She will sing about the deliverance of the Lord. A response to him. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? Listen to this. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice. Let's read together. And to love and to walk humbly. What does God want to be worshipped? Well, what is worship? Part of it is what is good. It's to do justice, to love, to walk humbly with your God. So, again, I'll say, true worship is actions, not just intentions. Number five, submission and homage. True worship shows the respect. True worship shows respect and honor before God. It shows that. God has chosen his people. He has chosen us as his people. He has set in time. He has set the terms and decides the results of our response. True worship lets God be God on his terms. You don't worship God because he will do ABCD. You worship God on his terms. We submit to him as Lord with respectful and trusting wonder. This is the element of the fear of the Lord. I'm going to say God does not want us to fear him. They lie to you. He wants us to respectfully be in awe of him. Fearfully respect him. When I'm teaching the Shema, I'll talk about the fear of the Lord.
Katonda teita gamu manyirira.
How do you say that?
Kumu manyira.
Some of us have kamanyiro with God. And it's because people have been taught wrongly. So they think them and God, they are equal. No. No, you're not. Number six. Are we together? God alone is worthy of worship. Now, when you bow down for human leaders or people respecting society and prostrate, yeah, that's one element of worship, but only the divine king is worthy of actual worship. He is the source, he's the keeper, he's the God. So what you show before your king, what you show before a superior, somebody want to honor, is very different from when you're worshiping Yahweh. God alone is worthy of worship. No man should take the place of God. No man should have a larger say in your life than God. You cannot fear anyone more than you fear God. That's what the boys told the king. Oh, king, we honor you, sir. But when it comes to this matter of worship, we choose to obey God. You can put us in the furnace of fire, but we're not going to bow down to your God. Respectfully, they honor the king, they respect the king. But nah, when it comes to us obeying God over you, that's a joke. It's not even a question. Amen. God has revealed himself as Yahweh, a redeemer, the creator. In the New Testament, Jesus, the Son, is worthy to be worshipped. The triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, only he deserves to be worshipped. Only you are holy. Do you know that song? Only you are wonderful. For there's no one else like you.
Who is faithful and true? All my life, my song is a testimony. Only you are holy. Those songs, that's what they imply. Amen. The songs like Gweweka, only you, God. Only you, God. You are proclaiming God above everything and everyone. Number 7. True worship involves responding to God's communication. We are responding to God's communication. We could not worship God properly if He had not taken the first step to speak to us, open our eyes to His message, whether in creation, history, or scripture. So God took the first step. The universe declares God's greatness in a general way. That's what they call general revelation. That's what I was talking about. Through the creation, the invisible attributes of God, Paul wrote about. But only through the specific revelation, the scriptures, in the actions and His words, do we learn about His specific character and His nature. True worship involves communication through action. True worship involves communication through action. Right? We love because He first loved us. We respond to Him. 1 John 4:19. Amen. And number 8. Alignment with God's will. Listen. For any worshipper's acts of honor to be favorably received by God, they must line up with His will rather than with our desires or human thinking. For worship to be appreciated, accepted by God, it must be in His will. This is why God in the Old Testament would reject sacrifices they gave to Him if the people were not living, you know, giving justice, living honorably. You cannot steal man and give God a first fruit. You know, people do like that and they think they're sanctifying it. It must be honorable to God if it's going to be accepted. Amen. Forms of worship may vary from culture to culture, but worship must come from hearts totally devoted to God and determined to please Him. A non-believer cannot sing a worship song to God and it is accepted as worship. From which heart? The heart and the actions have to agree. So you cannot be there living like a Gentile, living horribly, and then you on Sunday you come and no, sir. This is what some people have tried to do. They have tried to make dirty money, then they come and they want to give it to church. They give some money to church to cleanse their conscience. And there's a pastor who said, God bless you so much. Amen. You cannot choose to worship God because for us, we're Africa. Let's give God an African worship. God has not asked for an African worship. Not just for an Asian worship.
You worship him in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. So you can't just come and say we're going to do back Simba on the pulpit as to honor God. Amen. So, unless it is prescribed biblically as how we worship God, we ought not to do it. Now, the New Testament does not give a lot of detail on very specific worship, group worship, but the Old Testament does. And unless the New Testament has said that this form of worship is obsolete, is no longer for us to do in the New Testament, we ought to continue with it. Amen. When you look at worship in the New Testament, you know, the meetings were geared towards worship. The meetings were a form of worship. Some of the elements we see in those meetings is exhortation, right? Building one another, encouraging one another, serving each other. You know, serving each other is worship. Challenging one another to faith and good works is worship. Coming together, communion is worship. Praying together is worship. Another time I'll talk about how the word worship ministers or worship leaders is a new phenomenon. In true biblical times, the true worship leaders were the people who gave. What I'm doing this morning is worship leading. Amen. So building each other, faith, good works, encouraging one another, doing things together. That's communal worship. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. The Shema. I'm going to teach on the Shema, I've told you. Maybe on a Tuesday. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You know, the last part did mean love the Lord with all your muscles. These are the three things it talks about. The heart deals with the inner being. This is the worship of God. This is how you worship God. These are the dimensions you worship God. Your heart will be your inner being. This is your personal devotion. Then your soul is your whole person. Okay? Mind and body, in your actions, and also in church. This is your whole person. This is the soul. Then your might, that word in the Hebrew actually means, guess what? Your resources. Worship God with everything you have. Your daily life as worship. Your money. This way, giving becomes worship. So are you seeing that worship is wholehearted, or it involves your whole personhood? In fact, this is why for the Israelite, there was no separation between their church, devotional, spiritual life, and their natural life. All elements belong to God. That's why the commandment is what? You love your God, devotion to God, and love your neighbor. living in justice, loving others. That is just what you would call your secular life, isn't it? Your whole is supposed to be given to God. So worship focus, the meetings. So you've seen your resources, your inner self, your personal devotion, your whole person, your church, your activities with other people, and also how you are in the outside world. You're supposed to live a life of worship. So, this is the complete picture of worship. Everyday life, home, community, your work, while you play. The second one, in the hearing of God's word, you're worshiping. That is reading scripture, preaching, your personal testimony, evangelism. That's worship. Remember? Your response to God. Number three. Speaking to God. Speaking to God is worship. Prayer. All the diversities of prayer. Thanksgiving. Sharing faith. Confession. Making requests. Praying for others. Worship. In songs, it's just an element. Songs of praise, songs of celebration, songs expressing sorrow. We're going to be singing songs of sorrow, by the way. That's all part of worship. I told you, majority of the Psalms are lament. And those are songs we're supposed to sing. What else in worship? Response, acting in response, like how? Giving offerings. Giving in church is worship. Serving others. What do you do at church? How do you serve others in the local church? In the community? That's worship. Church ordinances like baptism, communion, that is worship. And then physical expression of worship. When you are singing songs, are you putting up your hands? Are you prostrating? You know, these are the things we focus most on. They are just an element of worship, but they are also important. Are you lifting your hands? Are you opening your mouth? Are you shouting? Are you kneeling? Are you prostrating? Those are physical expressions. And then, lastly, heart attitudes. What is the attitude of your heart as you worship? Are you in awe? When you sing majesty. Oh, sometimes the words are so on your mouth that they are not coming from your heart. Your grace is for me just as I am. Empty handed, but alive. Sing about His Majesty. And you see, sometimes I think this is why all the extra instruments and what, sometimes this is where they take away from people. But you're just supposed to. I don't know if you've ever played a Dunmore and worship set. You know. All of a sudden, every word is going in, everything. The awe, you know, that attitude, the respect. You respect God. Sometimes you kneel, you lift your hands, Sometimes tears will come down your eyes.
As the deep panted, the waters of my soul after thee.
Worshipful music must come from truly worshipful living. Lives marked by compassion, by kindness, by humility, by forgiveness, by love. You're worshipping. See, this thing must come from within. Must be reflected in your life. We need to recover worship music. How? Our songs, number one, should express submission to God and response to His revelation. Not just a personal preference. Worship music must express submission to God, response to His revelation. Have you noticed that I first teach and I tell certain to find us a song to deal with? Because we are coming from a revelation, and then we are going to sing that.
I worship you. Worship songs will come from what you know about Him, from what you've seen about Him. Amen.
Because sometimes, you see, the mindset has been that you worship God for him to come down. That's like you're worshiping a God who is not revealed. Some of this I'll just talk to the worship leaders, and sometimes they think that if I can get people emotional, then no. Do you think the guy who sang, "I see the Lord, I see the Lord"? I see, then I sing. I know, then I sing. I've heard, then I sing. Amen. Number two, focus on Christ and the cross. Music must highlight God's grace in Jesus. Not just celebrate his greatness. Like, you know, like, we tend to gravitate more towards the feel good event songs. You know, as opposed to what he has done. Mm-hmm. What is revealed in Christ. Number three, use rich, varied content. Music should embody God's word. Varied, I mean variety. Let it include both joy, lament. Let it reflect God's order rather than worldly chaos. You know, singing lament is singing something which is rightly within God. Like I said, the biggest part of Psalms, the song of the Psalms, must find its way in our songs. People come to church when they're in lament, and we want everybody to be just joyful all the time. Be joyful. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Well. Where has God told us it doesn't matter what people are going through? Sometimes people are crying. Sometimes people are in sorrow. And we need to sing lament. Oh yeah. Sometimes people are in pain. And they just need their hug and that song. Joy. Sometimes we have to celebrate. The horse and his rider. What is that? He has done so. Valiantly, the horse and its rider. That's a song of Moses, it's a psalm. Praise the Lord, he has done so valiantly. Right? We can sing songs of celebration. I think the ones of joy and celebration are the most we have, right? But how many of you say some Sundays we come and there's no joy? We don't have joy. We want to weep. Matt Ezra, it's your responsibility sometimes to read the room and give us weeping songs. And let's cry. Yes. Part of what I'm going to talk to you about. Tukave! Ameton kwatako! Likan kave. Do you know any? Anybody knows any lament song? And a pain song. Again, like I told you, the new guys don't sing those songs. But in the hymns, we'll find them. It is well is what? Though what? when sorrow. The laments were like that. You start from lament, then you end in acknowledging that God is in charge, God is in control, God knows, God understands. That's a pure lament song. I think Spirit lead me well. My hope is without borders.
Let me walk along the waters.
That is a song of Nyamba Mukama. Amen. Any else? Again, I told you just not to sing celebrate. You have to learn lament. Either for now or for the future. For your friend. So, the content of the music in worship must be varied. It can be praise, it can be worship, it can be... It's not the tempo, it's the content. The difference between praise and worship is not the speed. Miracles are working for my sake. Brother Ken is now saying those ones. Then he rolls. You know, you're doing a piano in praise, isn't it? All right. There's no praise. Whoever has left, I know you. Whoever has left, you need. Check all the people who have left. I pray for them. Number four. Don't equate music with worship. I'll say it again. Don't equate music with worship. I'm about to finish. Music is important, but only one element. Hearing God's word through preaching and scripture reading is central to worship. The most important worship is the one which I've been doing for the last 1 hour plus. That's why I told you. What I'm doing here is worship leading. And that's how it was in the olden times. I'll tell you about it. Actually, back then, the people who used to lead the songs were the teachers and the ministers and the preachers. They would introduce the song through which the congregation would all sing. Amen. So, music is important, but it's only one element. God's word, preaching and teaching is central to. I've seen people do 24 hours praise and worship. I've never seen them do 24 hours in the Word. Probably will be the first to do it. Number five, keep musicians in proper role. Musicians serve the Word. The real worship leader is the one whoever reads and preaches the scriptures. Next conference, when they are calling worship leaders out, I'll come. You did get the joke. This conference, when they are calling worship. But sometimes we just know the language people use. But in all honesty, musicians must know the word. Singers must know the word. they must represent the worship in their life that they are leading us. You remember the other thing? Let me sing from an overflow. Number 6, link music to holy living. Without righteous living and daily communion with God, any music is just noise. I'll say it again. Without righteous living and daily communion with God, any music is just noise. You just have good vocals. Then lastly, make music congregational. Everyone should sing together to unite the generation, to unite the body of Christ across generations and tests. Don't say the youth want which band now? The youth want which worship leaders, and then the older church does hymns. We'll worship God together. Cross generation. The goal is music that glorifies God, promotes reverence, serves the word, and unites believers, rather than dividing them by preference and by style. Lastly, as we find us a song, I'll say this. The goal is music that glorifies God, promotes reverence, serves the word, and unites believers. We can do here's my worship. And unites believers rather than dividing them by preference or style. Did you receive that? So we're going to sing this song and we commit our worship to the Lord.